Hello. Welcome to Squabbles of the Soil, Season 4, a podcast produced in collaboration with MTSU Collegiate FFA Chapter and directed by students of the MTSU Debate and Discussions in Agriculture class. The opinions stated on this podcast are not affiliated with MTSU. The dirt of the day here consists of controversial agricultural topics. Let's come down to earth.
Hello, my name is Faith Cook, and I'm an animal science major at Middle Tennessee State University. Today's topic is going to be about the reallocation of base acreage. With the 2023 Farm Bill being a main topic of discussion in the agriculture industry, base acreage has been brought before legislators several times. Base acres are the amount of acres that a farm has for a certain commodity, and they affect how much a producer can receive through crop insurance or relief funding. While many corn growers believe that there is a much-needed reallocation of base acreage, other farmers disagree and would prefer that other issues be dealt with before this. Our first guest today is George McDonald, who is the owner and operator of Katisa Farms in Riddleton, Tennessee, and sits on the Tennessee Corn Promotion Board through the Tennessee Corn Growers Association.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you understand about the controversy of base acre reallocation?
Well, I'm George McDonald, a full-time farmer, farmed all my life here in Smith County. With base reallocation, the issue that we get into is that a lot of folks farm farms there are no bases on. And then there's people who are farming land that they're growing crops that they're getting paid on base acres with, but they're not growing those particular crops. So my defense in all this is that the acres should go where the crops are being grown at.
Yes. So can you tell me a little bit about your personal experience with the issue?
Sure. A prime example is a farm that joins right beside of where I'm sitting at in our farm office right now that my cousins own. And on that farm, there are 182 acres of crops that we plant on that particular farm. We've been farming that farm since 2005, so it's not something we just picked up, last year or something like that. But we started farming that farm in crops after we could change base acres. Today on that farm that we have 182 acres that we plant, we have a total of 2 base acres. That's right, 2. Not 22, not 200, but 2. And so that throws us out of any subsidy payments on that farm. So why does that affect me? It affects me because it is an inequity in farming that farm versus a farm that may be down the road from there that may have total based out. In other words, that 182 acres, it may have 182 base acres. So if there's any farm payments coming on that farm, what's the equality in doing that? There are a lot of young farmers that I know who are farming that started farming 10 years ago, let's say, and they're farming land that, Faith, they have 0 base acres on any of the farms they farm. I can go an example further on that. And there's one farm in our home county that has 19 acres of base acres that landowner is getting paid for that 19 acres of base acres, whatever farm program comes about. Guess how many acres are being farmed on it? 0. So the strong point of this to me is that I'm not advocating for an increase in government payments. I'm not increasing in the farm bill payments as far as what it would cost. All I'm saying is that whoever's growing the crops are the ones that should be having those base acres and eligible for those government subsidies to level out the playing field. We get over in rice country, some of the kickback into that will be, they'll say, well, our rice payments on our farm are too great to give up. Are you growing rice? No, we haven't grown any rice in 15 years, 20 years. But we don't want to give up our payments on that. I cannot get anybody explain to me how that is fair to their neighbor down the road who may be growing corn or soybeans or wheat or grain sovereign, and they may not be getting but no payments or very little payments at all. So I do not understand the equity in that, and that's all I'm advocating for.
Yeah, yeah. So now we have a lot of younger listeners that'll listen to this podcast, a lot of high school students, and we'll even have, you know, several consumers listen. So, you know, I know what the term base acre is and you do too. So can you kind of explain that term a little bit and what a base acre really is?
A base acre is in about 1985 is when the base acres were last year you could really establish base. Oh, no, it's not. What year? You can help me out on that. What year was base acres? Could you update them?
Oh, my goodness. I want to think that I know that there was something that happened in 2014 from what I researched. But then there was, I think the last time that they were reallocated or updated, I feel like it was in the 80s at some
point. I think it's 1985.
I think you're right. It was somewhere right around there.
And during that point in time, I had started farming. And some of the farms we were farming, we create base. And what that means is for example, let's say we have a 100-acre farm and we plant, well, I have one farm, it's 120 acres on it. And on that particular farm, the 120 acres, we plant 110 acres. And during 1985 and previous to that, we would plant 110 acres of corn, we'd plant 110 acres of soybeans, we plant 110 acres of wheat. Now, that's not all the same year. For example, to help everyone understand, that 110 acres, we'd plant corn. That fall, we'd plant wheat. And then the following year after the wheat's harvested, we'd plant soybeans. And it took 10 years to establish that base because base establishments are created over a five-year average. So when we were rotating, it still took 10 years to get that, but we had enough time that we were able to get those bases established. So it had 110 acres of corn base in years was going to corn. If we had wheat, it had 110 acres of wheat, and soybeans had 110 acres of soybeans. So that's how those bases came about. And all government payments, most government payments are based up on those base acres and the yields on those farms. So if you couldn't do something before those establishment years, you're out in the dark unless you rented a farm from someone who had been farming it before you and they had established those base acres. And that's the only way you can do it. Today, you cannot change those base acres. You cannot change those target yields or anything about it.
So I know that you're involved in the Tennessee Corn Growers Association, and from my understanding, they stand with you on that reallocation of base acreage and that's something that they're really pushing for and really trying to push lawmakers to, you know, encourage that forward. So how do you see all of this playing out in the future? Do you think that we'll see a reallocation of base acres, or do you think that that's something that we won't see in the near future or even in the long term?
I think it's a lot more push for that, not only in Tennessee corn, national corn growers. There's some commodity groups that behind the scenes are saying they support it, but their bylaws or their resolutions right now are saying that, well, we don't want to do that right now. But I had one of the presidents of one of the large farm organizations told me, he said, we're on the wrong side of the fence here. He said, my son is a young farmer, and he's in the exact situation of what you're explaining and won't get it changed for. To be fair, to be honest, to be able to stand up in front of people and say what's right and what's wrong, this is an issue that's right. This is an issue that will not cost taxpayers any more money. Only thing it will do is put those base acres in the hands of the people who are actually farming the crops.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you think that the farm bill will impact all of this? Because I went to a farm bill listening session, and I believe you were at that same one. And we heard, actually, that's really where I guess I heard first about base acres and then kind of got to talk to you later in the week. But, you know, how do you think that the farm bill is going to impact that? Because we heard from farmers on both sides. So, you know, there's a lot of push from either side to reallocate or to not. So what is your opinion, I guess, of where it will stand in the farm bill?
I think it will be discussed. I think it'll be talked about. I think there will be some compromise of some type in it. Because how can a congressman stand before someone and say that we're going to pay you for a crop you're not growing? How can your conscience let you do that? And then when you've got especially a young farmer that gets nothing from it, and you're giving somebody who's not growing a crop money for literally not growing it, it's hard to defend that. So I think we will see some changes in it. And of course, it all pivots around the farm bill. This is not something that Tennessee Corn wants to do and it happens, or National Corn Growers or Farm Bureau or any organization. It has to come through the farm bill. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see some movement. How much traction we're going to see on this, I'm not sure if it'll happen on this farm bill or the next, but I think it's inevitable that it has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that my final question, and you've kind of talked about this a little bit, but what group do you think is most affected by just base acres and the potential reallocation?
I think when you get to the rice country, those people will see a reallocation and they are against it because it's going to take money out of their pockets. I think when you get in the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma and some of that wheat country where they used to grow a lot of wheat and may not be growing as much wheat now, I think we're going to see a negative impact, and I think we'll see a pushback from that. Texas being the largest state to get some of those payments, they're going to have a big pushback, and rightfully so. You know, their congressmen are going to try to defend for them because that's who they represent. But when we see congressmen from the Corn Belt, from Tennessee, from the Southern Belt, I think we're going to see people want to make this happen in some ways.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being willing to talk to me about it all and kind of give your opinion there and, you know, explain what the base acres are. It really, I do appreciate it a lot.
Do you have more questions?
That's everything.
Oh, come on. Okay. But I've enjoyed it.
Our second guest is Casey Youngerman, a farmer from Henderson County and Tennessee Soybean Association State Director. Mr. Youngerman also sits on the American Soybean Association Board of Directors.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic, the base acre reallocation. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you understand about the controversy of base acre reallocation.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. My name is Casey Youngerman, farm West Tennessee, Henderson County, family farm going back four generations now. I'm a state director for Tennessee Soybean Association, and I'm on the American Soybean Association Board of Directors as well. I've got some insight to reallocation of base acres, but I'll wait for the questions to elaborate.
All right. So that's actually one of my first questions is, what is your description of base acres and why should they not be mandatory? Why should there not be a mandatory reallocation? Sorry.
Base acres essentially are assigned by the Farm Service Agency on crop ground. Corn, you have a corn base. In Tennessee, we usually have a corn base, a cotton base, grain sorghum base, soybean base, wheat. I don't know if there are any tobacco base acres left or not after the buyout, but mostly it's the grain crops. The base acres, if there is a disaster payment or a price protection payment come in, it's based on the base acres that you have. So if, for example, if someone's farming 50-50 corn soybean rotation, they get paid on the base acres they have. And then they may not have the right base acres they want, but they generally, it works pretty good unless you just have some odd crops in there that you haven't grown in generations.
Yeah. Can you tell me just a little bit about your personal experience with the issue?
my personal experience is we grow cotton in and out of our cotton's in and out of our rotation as the market dictates. And if they reallocated, if they did a mandatory reallocation based on a 4 or 5 year snapshot of my acres, they would probably kick cotton completely out of my base acres. And then the years I did grow it, I wouldn't have any, I would have crop insurance, but I wouldn't have any federal disaster payment qualifications for cotton. It would go back to the whatever that piece of ground had on it. Well, like if it had a soybean base, I would get paid the disaster payment on soybeans, even though I've got a crop that costs 3 times as much to put in planted there.
So how do you see this playing out in the future?
I'm not sure. We, as the American Soybean Association, Tennessee Soybean Association, we lobby pretty hard against mandatory reallocation. And that's what they're wanting to do is take a snapshot. And when I say mandatory reallocation, the government's proposed taking a snapshot of a 4 year period and basing your acre base off of what your acres were of each crop in those 4 years. And I might grow cotton 1 out of 4, so I wouldn't get any cotton in there. Mm-hmm. I might be really heavy on soybeans 1 year because of the weather or the price, or I might be really heavy on corn. The true test would be the ground that grows your corn the best, that needs to be your corn base. The ground that grows cotton the best needs to be your cotton base, and the ground that grows soybeans the best be your soybean base, and it should be voluntary farmer to farmer.
So you mentioned that you all are lobbying really hard to, you know, go against this mandatory reallocation. So what are some things that you all are telling those legislators?
Well, for one thing, we're against anything mandatory. When the government does something, and I'm not saying all aspects of government, but when they have a tendency to do something like that, they either overdo it. And if we have a mistake or they make a mistake, it'll be the next farm bill before it's rectified. So you're looking 4 years down the road at the soonest. And then if we don't have enough support to get a mistake rectified, it could be 8 years down the road or it could be 12. I mean, it's that's the problem I have with the mandatory part is it's just it needs to be voluntary. And we've been telling lawmakers, look, don't mess with. If you're going to make it mandatory, just don't mess with it. Otherwise, make it voluntary and do it on a once a decade cycle or something like that. So that's our position.
Yeah. So what other groups, I guess I should say, are also against this mandatory reallocation?
I think National Cotton Council is. I'm not sure about corn. They had said something last year about wanting mandatory reallocation, but a lot of them are based in the Midwest. But that's I know that's our position. I'm not privy to the other ones' positions, but. That's where I come off of because that's what our policy says.
Okay. So I've got one question for you, or one last one, I should say. What role do you hope that the Farm Bill will play in the solution to this issue?
I hope, well, to be honest with you, if they do reallocate or do a mandatory reallocation, it's going to cost money in some states. It's going to save money in others. But I'm thinking they won't do anything because of the budget restrictions. This is going to be the most expensive farm bill ever. And honestly, I don't think we're going to get a lot on the ag side because they've upped the price of the nutrition side so much.
Yeah, and that's definitely, it's going to be interesting to see it all play out for sure. So that's the last question that I had for you. Thank you for being on this episode of the podcast. It's been great talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To wrap up, we would like to thank you, the listener, for taking time to listen to this episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Now, we hope that you are able to form your own opinion on base acre reallocation.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Squabbles of the Soil. We hope you've enjoyed digging deep into the pressing issues facing our agricultural world. Keep listening and find out who you are rooting for.